الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue our discussion reading from examples from the books of hadith examples of how the Salaf they used to love and honor and revere holding high regards the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would strive to learn it and to know it and to love it and to follow it and to prefer it and to establish that in their lives and to establish that in their lives. And likewise examples of how they were stern. They were stern in the face of those who challenged the Sunnah with their intellects or with their opinions or with their customs and cultures. They were stern and harsh upon them to clarify for them the reality of this affair, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لا ينطق عن الهوى لا ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى, that he does not speak from his desires sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather it is only a revelation that is revealed. So in honoring the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and honoring his sunnah and in honoring his sunnah and honoring his narrations is honoring Allah and showing reverence and the respect that is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds. The Lord of the worlds. We had read a number of narrations clarifying that the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it precedes every statement. And those who come after him, their statements, they're not placed in opposition to the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those who come after him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their statements, they're not placed in opposition to the statement of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regardless of who they are. We have seen examples of that, even if it is the statement of Abu Bakr and Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, if it's not in accordance to that which was narrated authentically on the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will not be accepted. Accepted, and if they are known to be from those nobles, from the noble ones, like the companions, radiyallahu anhum, were the best of them, like Abu Bakr al-Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, or any scholar after them, upon their way, and they made a mistake in this error, they made a statement or a position or an opinion, or a judgment or ruling in the deen that is contrary to the clear evidence of the Quran and the Sunnah, then it will not be accepted. Then it will not be accepted, but at the same time, their honor will be preserved and their honor will be established, and they will not be belittled for that, because what is known from them, from their love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is striving to follow their way. Rather, an excuse will be made for them. They were striving in their reasoning. They made al-ijtihad fi mas'ala. They were striving in their reasoning in this particular issue, but that which is clear and that which is incumbent to follow is that which is established in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In our previous class, we were reading some narrations from our Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that which was narrated from him and that which they heard him saying. And from these beautiful statements clarifying the great love the Salaf they had in their hearts for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the great honor they had likewise for his narrations sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this like is what is narrated from our Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. He said, لَقَدْ ضَلَّ مَنْ تَرَكَ حَدِيثَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لِقَوْلِ مَنْ بَعْدَهُ, that indeed he has gone astray, that indeed he has deviated and gone astray, the one who leaves the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the statement of someone after him. Likewise, there's a well-known statement by al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullahu ta'ala with regards to holding fast to that which is found in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever it's made clear to a person. He mentioned rahimahullah, قَدْ أَجْمَعَ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مَنْ اسْتَبَانَتْ لَهُ سُنَّةُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ أَنْ يَدْعَهَا لِقَوْلِ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ النَّاسِ, that there is a consensus. قَدْ أَجْمَعَ النَّاسِ, yani النَّاسِ meaning those before him, from the companions and the tabi'een and the likes, that there is a consensus from the people of knowledge, those who had preceded al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, who died in the year 204, And there's a consensus from the best of this ummah, the early generations. أن من استبانت له سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يكن له أن يدعها لقول أحد من الناس. لم يكن له أن يدعها لقول أحد من الناس. That it's not allowed for him. That whomsoever the sunnah has become clear to him. That whomsoever the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has become clear to him. It is not allowed for him to leave it for the statement of anyone, no matter who they are. It is not allowed for him to leave it for the statement of anyone, no matter who they are. And Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to mention, قولي حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولو لم تسمعوه مني. He would say that my position, my statement, my madhab, my creed, my belief, my way is the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if you did not hear it from me. And he would say, rahimahullah ta'ala, إِذَا صَحَّ الْحَدِيثُ فَهُوَ مَذْهَبِي. إِذَا صَحَّ الْحَدِيثُ فَهُوَ مَذْهَبِي. And if the hadith is declared to be authentic, then that is my madhab, and that is my school of thought. And the likes of this has been narrated as well from Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, and others from the scholars of al-hadith. Others from the scholars of al-hadith. Our topic likewise was about the clarification. Examples of the ghayra that the salaf they had for the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the ghayra, the sense of love and jealousy, honor and respect that they had for the deen of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from that is what is narrated by al-Humaydi. He says, rahimahullah, rawa al-shafi'iyu rahimahullah ta'ala yawman hadithan faqultu ata'khudhu bihi. He says that al-Shafi'i, one day he narrated a narration. He narrated a narration from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I said to him, al-Humaydi, he says, so I said to him, do you take that hadith? Yani, do you take that position and understand and apply that narration as you have narrated? And at this time, because of the great ghayra and the sense of love and honor and jealousy for the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise for his own soul, he became furious. He became angry, rahimahullah ta'ala. فَقَالَ أَرَأَيْتَنِي خَرَجْتُ مِنْ كَنِيسَةٍ أَوْ عَلَيَّ زُنَّارٍ حَتَّى إِذَا سَمِعْتُ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَدِيثًا لَا أَقُولُ بِهِ أَرَأَيْتَنِي خَرَجْتُ مِنْ كَنِيسَةٍ. He says he narrated to him a narration. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this or said that, or did this or did that, or encouraged this or encouraged that, or ordered this or ordered that, or forbade this or forbade that. He had a narration from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then his student asked him, do you follow that? Do you follow that? Do you apply that narration? And he became angry. He said, did you see me coming out of a church? Did you see me coming out of a church? Did you see me wearing a belt that the Christian priests wear? And do you think I'm a Christian? Do you think I'm a Christian that I would hear a narration from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then I would not apply it or follow it? Meaning that this is something that is amazing that you would think of this about me. How dare you think about me in this manner like this? That I would belittle the narration of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this manner and I would hear it or even narrate it and then not apply it myself. So these are great examples of how we should be. How we should be in our religion, in our love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in our preference. And our preference for his sunan and his laws in legal ways sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the way of the Salaf. And this is why they had great honor and respect and dignity until this day, and their love for the sake of Allah. And they were those who were chosen and selected to carry the deen of Allah to those after them. And they carried that responsibility and they fulfilled that trust in the most beautiful and best manner. And this is from the aspect of how that occurred, because their hearts were full of ghayra. Their hearts were full of ghayra, love and honor and respect and a strong jealousy, honest jealousy for the deen of Allah, for their faith, for al-Islam, for al-Iman, for the sacred rights of the deen. They loved it in a great manner. They respected it in a great manner. They held it in high regards. And it was not considered anything light in their life. It was known that this was their way, that they bear witness and testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And they were serious with regards to that. And they would bear witness and testify that Muhammad is the slave and messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they were serious with regards to that. So this is a great example for us today that we must be serious with our shahada. We must be serious with our testimony and our covenant and our contract and bond with Allah Azza wa Jal, that we bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. That we bear witness that everything that is worshipped besides Allah is falsehood and not worthy of worship. And that Allah alone, He is the one who is worthy of worship with no partner, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that we bear witness that Muhammad is the slave and the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And He is the only man who should be followed absolutely and believed in everything that he says and followed in the absolute manner. And that one will comply to his commandments absolutely and avoid and stay away from his prohibitions absolutely. And everyone after him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is following behind him regardless of their status or their rank. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the ultimate role model. He is the ultimate role model. This is what the Shahada requires and necessitates, that we fulfill these rights. And if we learn these rights, the rights of the Shahada, and establish them in our life, learn what these testimonies mean, and learn what they require and necessitate, and strive against our souls. And strive against our souls to implement that in our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will raise us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will aid us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will help us and bless our efforts and bless our families and bless our communities. But it's in this manner, by seeking knowledge and by learning the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truthfully and sincerely, with firm faith and belief in Allah and the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jal, with firm faith in the legislation and the law of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the revelation that was revealed to the messengers and prophets, and that the final revelation and the best of all that is in the Quran, and that the final and the last messenger and the seal of all prophets is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeking knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, knowledge of his tawheed, seeking knowledge of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his biography, and seeking knowledge of the laws and limits that are prescribed in the deen of Islam, in the aqeedah and in the methodology and manhaj, and in the manners and etiquettes, the akhlaq and the adab, and the worship and the obligations and the prohibitions, and every aspect of life, seeking knowledge of these affairs truthfully and sincerely in this manner, great aid and help and honor and authority will come. And this was the way of those who had preceded. This is the way of those who had preceded. They believed in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they followed him diligently, and they learned his way, and they took him as a role model, and Allah opened their hearts and opened by way of them the hearts of the people and the lands. So we continue reading in that which we have selected from these pages from the work Makanat As-Sunnah An-Nabawiyyah. And the author, he says, وَعَنْ عَمْرُ ابن محمد رحمه الله أنه قال كان أبو معاوية الضرير يحدث هارون الرشيد فحدثه بحديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه احتج آدم وموسى فقال علي بن جعفر كيف هذا وبين آدم وموسى ما بينهما. So now the example here is with regards to one of the khulafa of Bani al-Abbas, Harun al-Rashid, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He was known as one of those upright leaders and rulers of the Muslim Empire in his day. And he was known for loving the Sunnah and honoring the Sunnah, and likewise honoring the scholars, specifically the scholars of Hadith. So Amr ibn Muhammad, rahimahullah, he mentions that at one time, Abu Muawiyah al-Dharir, he's from the narrators of Hadith, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 194. He died in the year 194. As-Shayb al-Shayuthkar, that's the year that al-Bukhari was born. He says that one day Abu Muawiyah al-Dharir means he was blind. He's a scholar of Hadith. He's narrating a narration with his chain to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, but he used to sit in the company of the Khalifa, Harun al-Rashid. So he's narrating Harun al-Rashid, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He says, ihtajja Adamu wa Musa, that Adam and Musa, alayhim salatu wa salam, they had a debate about a particular issue. The hadith is well known, but at this moment, he says that a person in the gathering, Ali ibn Ja'far, and it's mentioned, Allah knows best, that he is also a relative of Harun al-Rashid, rahimahullah ta'ala. Whenever he heard this, whenever he heard the narration in this manner, he began like this, narrating with his chain back to Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Ali ibn Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, they had a debate about a particular issue. So this man, Ali ibn Ja'far, whenever he heard this, he said, Kayfa hadha? Kayfa hadha wa bayna Adam wa Musa ma baynahuma? How is this going to happen? He says, whenever he heard this, how is this going to happen whenever there's between Adam and Musa that which is between them? And Adam, he's from the first of mankind to be created, and Musa, he did not come for several, many, many generations later. Many generations later. So whenever he heard this narration, this is what came to his mind initially, and this is what came out of his mouth likewise. And this is what came out of his mouth likewise. How could this happen? How could they have a debate between each other, and Adam and Musa between them was this great distance and time, many, 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 many generations. So at this time he says, قَالَ فَوَثَبَ هَارُونَ الرَّشِيدِ وَقَالَ يُحَدِّثُكَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ وَتُعَارِضُهُ بِكَيْفِ فَمَا زَالَ يَقُولُ حَتَّى سَكَتَ عَنْهُ. He said, so at this time, Harun al-Rashid, rahimahullah ta'ala, he jumped up and he became furious likewise. And he said to the man, he said, he's narrating to you from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're opposing him with how? And you're opposing him with how? And how did this and that happen? And it's mentioned that he continued, yani, to say this to this person until finally they calmed him down. And Harun al-Rashid, rahimahullah ta'ala, as has proceeded, he was the Khalifa of the day. And he had the ultimate authority over the Muslim empire. So he had lots of authority and aid and help. It's mentioned in some of the wordings of this narration, غَضِبَ الرَّشِيدُ وَقَالَ النَّطْعُ وَالسَّيْفِ. He said he became so furious whenever this man, he said this, he called for النَّطْعُ وَالسَّيْفِ. The نَطْعُ is the carpet that will be laid down for a person whenever he's going to be executed. They would have a particular type of carpet they would lay down, and they would bring that carpet and the sword when they're going to execute somebody. So whenever he heard this man opposing the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this manner, he became furious. And he called for the carpet and for the sword. And then he says, Zindiqun wallahi. He says, An-nat'u was safe. Zindiqun wallahi yat'anu fi hadithi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, bring the carpet and bring the sword. He's a heretic. He's a hypocrite by Allah. I swear by Allah, he's a hypocrite, finding fault and speaking bad about the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, قَالَ فَمَا زَالَ أَبُو مُعَاوِيَ يُسَكِّنُهُ وَيَقُولُ كَانَتْ مِنْهُ بَادِرًا وَلَمْ يَفْهَمْ يَأْمِرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَتَّى سَكَّنَهُ. So it's mentioned that Abu Muawiyah, the narrator here, Abu Muawiyah al-Dharir, rahimahullah ta'ala, the one who's narrating the hadith, he started to calm him down, and he calming down the Khalifa, telling him that no, this is something that just popped into his mind. He wasn't thinking. He didn't understand what he's saying. Oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he making an excuse for him, and he continued to make an excuse for the individual until the Khalifa, he was calm. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned about this, that this is to show just the great honor and respect that they had, that in their day, the way that they understood the person who would oppose the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this manner, they would consider him, this is a sign that he's a disbeliever or a hypocrite, that this is something that only a disbeliever or a hypocrite would do, that this is a sign of hypocrisy and faith and disbelief, waliyadu billah. So whatever is clarified that it was a mistake from the individual, then inshallah the excuse would be made. The point is to realize how much they loved and honored and respected the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would stand in defense of that. And they would stand in defense of that against their against whomever it may be, whether it's from their own family members or somebody of authority and the likes like this. They would stand in defense and clarify the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would not let people belittle it or mock it or look down upon it or consider it to be light or nothing. And this is because of how heavy it was and how great it was in their hearts. How heavy and great it was in their hearts. So the author, he says, called As-Sabuni. As-Sabuni, he says here, As-Sabuni, his name is Abu Uthman Ismail ibn Abdurrahman As-Sabuni. He died in the year 449. He's from those authors like Ibn Battah, who had preceded, who died in the year 387. But As-Sabuni, he has a work similar to the work of Ibn Battah, which was called Al-Ibana, Al-Kubra, Wa-Sugra. And he has a work called Aqidatu Salaf Wa Ashab Al-Hadith. And it's one of those books which are considered from Kutub Al-Aqaid Al-Musnada. Kutub Al-Aqaid Al-Musnada that we spoke about in our previous classes. From those works is the work of As-Sabuni, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, called Aqidatu Salaf Ashab Wa Ashab Al-Hadith, the creed of the Salaf and the scholars of Hadith. In this particular work, he mentioned this narration with his chain likewise. And he commented after this narration and he says, رحمه الله تعالى هكذا هكذا ينبغي للمرء أن يعظم أخبار رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ويقابلها بالقبول والتسليم والتصديق. In this manner, like Harun al-Rashid in this particular narration here, rahimahullah, in this manner it is incumbent for a person to honor and to magnify, to honor and to hold in high regards the narrations of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to meet them with acceptance and surrender and to believe in them. A person, he will not say, how is this or how is that, whenever the narration is authentically reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like that which occurred in this narration, that there was a debate between Adam and Musa. So he said, how could that be? How could that be? A person, he will not have any doubts about this. If it's authentic on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will say that this is something that is true. And he will surrender and he would accept that. No doubt, likewise, it's narrated from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever he made al-Isra and the Mi'raj and he went up to the heavens sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night that the prayer was made obligatory upon him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's seen a number of prophets in succession. He's seen Adam and he's seen Yahya and Isa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim, a number of prophets in this manner. So the fact that this debate occurred is something that is established because the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he affirmed that. As for how this occurs, this is from the affairs of the unseen. It's already established that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, whatever he narrates from the affairs of the events that had passed, or that would occur in the future, or from the affairs of the unseen, there's nothing except for a believer, a true Muslim, to do except to surrender and to submit, whether he understands the wisdom behind that or not, or whether he understands how it happened or occurred or not, or why the order was ordered or prohibited or not. He will simply submit. No doubt if a person he has wisdom and knowledge after that, then this is light upon light, and he would increase in faith. But a true Muslim, it suffices him to know that it's reported authentically from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if he did not know how, nor know the wisdom or the reason behind the legislation of a particular action or how a particular issue occurred that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about, this would not weaken his faith. Rather, by submitting to that and believing it and applying it in the manner proper, it would increase his faith. If he knows the wisdom behind it or some other benefits with regards to that particular narration, then this would be light upon light and he will no doubt increase in faith. His faith would increase to the faith that he has. But not knowing the wisdom behind a ruling or the wisdom or how a particular issue occurred, this will not harm the faith of a believer, whether he will submit and surrender like he's mentioning here, and يُقَابِلَهَا أَيَسُنَّ بِالْقَابُولِ وَالتَّسْلِيمِ وَالتَّصْدِيقِ, that a person, he will accept the sunnah, that he will meet the sunnah with acceptance and with surrender and submission and with sincere faith and belief. And this is from the greatest rights of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us. And this is the meaning of the shahada, أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tasdiquhu fima akhbara wa ta'atuhu fima amara wa shinabu ma anhu naha wa zajara wa alla yu'bad Allahu illa bima shara'a, that one, he must believe in everything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed. This is what it means to testify that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then to comply to his commandment in obedience and to avoid and stay away from everything that he has forbidden and reprimanded sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to only worship Allah in the manner displayed in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if the narration reaches us authentically, we believe in it and we will strive to apply it in our lives. He says, along with that, likewise, what is incumbent for a Muslim, not only to accept the hadith in this manner, not only to accept the narrations, the sunnah, in this manner also, وَيُنْكِرُ وَأَشَدَّ الْإِنْكَارِ عَلَى مَنْ يَسْلُكُ فِيهَا غَيْرَ هَذَا الطَّرِيقِ الَّذِي سَلَكَهُ هَارُونَ الرَّشِيدُ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ مَعَ مَنْ اَعْتَرَضَ عَلَى الْخَبَرِ الصَّحِيحِ الَّذِي سَمِعَهُ بِكَيْفِ عَلَى طَرِيقَةِ الْإِنْكَارِ وَالِاسْتِعْلَاءِ لَهُ وَلَمْ يَتَلَقَّاهُ بِالْقَبُولِ كَمَا يَجِبُ أَنْ يَتَلَقَّى جَمِيعَ مَا يَرِدُ مِنْ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So along with that, likewise, it's incumbent for every true Muslim that also he will reprimand severely those people who do not follow this path, and if those people who do not honor the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the meaning of his statement, those people who do not honor the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or they oppose it, the authentic narration with saying how, they oppose the authentic narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, saying how is that, or saying why is that, and the likes like this, the likes of these people, they should be reprimanded in the same manner that Harun al-Rashid rahimahullah ta'ala had reprimanded him here. And those people who do not accept the sunnah and they're arrogant or boastful towards the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they place their intelligence in front of the hadith, in front of the narrations, or in front of the text, then these people should be dealt with in this manner, and they should be clarified that they are in danger, that they are in danger, and they're exposing their souls to the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ. Let them take precaution. Let them beware, those people who are opposing the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, opposing him and turning away after the knowledge has come, that a trial should befall them. The trials in this life should befall them, any meaning a deficiency and weakness in their faith. Al-Imam Ahmad, he has, rahimahullah, interpreted the trials here to be a shirk, that opposing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blatantly in this manner is a means to fall into shirk and misguidance and disbelief. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ. Or else a trial will befall them, or else a painful punishment will befall them. The author, he mentioned, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ فَقَدْ كَانَتْ نُسُوسُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَجَلَّ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ وَأَعْظَمَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مِنْ أَنْ يُعَارِضُوهَا بِقَوْلِ أَحَدٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا تَثْبُتُ قَدَمُ الْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا عَلَى ذَلِكَ. So may Allah be pleased with the companions and those scholars of hadith after them, those whom the texts of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more honorable and noble and honored and venerated in their chest, and also more magnified and great in their hearts, that they would ever oppose them with the statement of somebody from the people. That they would ever oppose them with the statement of somebody from the people. And he says, وَلَا تَثْبُتُ قَدَمُ الْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And the faith would never have a firm foothold except in this manner. Except in this manner. And if for a person to truly complete his faith and to have fulfilled the rights of his iman, is this affair here, that he will surrender and submit to the texts that have been revealed, to the commandments and the prohibitions that have been clarified, to the legislation and law that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will not oppose them with his intellect, he will not oppose them with his opinions, he will not oppose them with his customs or cultures, he will not oppose them with the statement of so-and-so, or the position of so-and-so, or he will not seek to deny them or to change the meanings or to distort them and the likes like this. Rather, he will accept them in the manner that they have come. He will accept them in the manner that they have come. It's been narrated by Al-Wuza'i rahimahullah ta'ala that he said, إِذَا بَلَّغَكَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَدِيثٌ فَلَا تَظُنَّنَّ غَيْرَهُ وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ غَيْرَهُ فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا إِنَّمَا كَانَ مُبَلِّغًا رَبِّهِ. That if something reaches you, if a narration reaches you from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is from Al-Awza'i. He died in the year 157 rahimahullah ta'ala, from the scholars of hadith. He says, if a narration reaches you from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then do not think contrary. Then do not think contrary and do not say differently. Do not think contrary and do not say differently. Because indeed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he only came as one who is conveying the message from his Lord. He only came as one who is conveying the message from his Lord. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he conveyed the message. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he conveyed the message. So there's nothing after him. There's nothing after him for his followers to do except to follow. There's nothing for us to do after him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except to follow. Except to follow. Ala Allahi ar-risala wa ala ar-rasul al-balagh wa alayna at-taslim. This has been narrated from Az-Zuhri rahimahullah ta'ala, Muhammad ibn Shihab Az-Zuhri rahimahullah ta'ala, that he said, ala Allahi ar-risala, the message is from Allah. The message, the revelation, the guidance is from Allah. Wa ala ar-rasul al-balagh, and that which was obligatory and incumbent upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to convey, wa alayna at-taslim, and what is incumbent upon us is to submit. So therefore, this is the test in this life, that we must submit to Allah Azza wa Jal in belief and sincere faith, in belief and in sincere faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's the Lord of the worlds, that He's the creator and the provider and the sustainer of all things, that He alone is alive and never dies, and that He has sent prophets and messengers and revelation throughout time, and that the final prophet and messenger is Muhammad ibn Abdullah Al-Qurashi, Al-Hashimi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no prophet after him. And that all pathways of goodness and all means to reach the pleasure of Allah and Jannah are closed, except for his way, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, it's incumbent to believe this, and then to strive to understand that way, and to know that way in detail, and to follow that, and to surrender and to submit. And to surrender and to submit. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the messenger of Allah. So by learning his narrations and the narrations of those upon his way after him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person, he will find light. And by learning what he was upon sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from creed and belief and from worship and manners and conduct, and likewise from transactions and dealings in all aspects of life, and learning what his companions were upon after him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the scholars of hadith after them radiyallahu anhum, in this manner a person, he can have light and insight, and things will become clear for him, and this life will become clear for him, and he'll be able to distinguish, because knowledge is a criterion, a furqan. He'll be able to distinguish which transactions are good, which dealings are good, which actions of worship are good, which creed is good and proper, and which one is corrupt and evil, and which one is wrong and misguided, and who is upon a good way and who is upon a foul way. It's by way of knowledge. Knowledge is light that will distinguish these affairs. Knowledge is light that will distinguish these affairs. It's been narrated by Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala that he said, مَا قَلَّتْ الْأَثَارِ فِي قَوْمٍ إِلَّا كَثَرَتْ فِيهِمْ الْأَهْوَاءِ وَإِذَا قَلَّتْ الْعُلَمَاء ظَهَرَ فِي النَّاسِ الْجَفَاءِ. That if the narrations become few amongst the people, then desires will be many and numerous amongst them. The narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and of the Salaf after them, if these narrations become few or unknown to a particular people in a particular land or society, then what happens because of that is that great desires and misguidance will be riled up, will be stirred around them, will be spread around them. Many desires and whims will take hold of them, and they will be in great ignorance in following their desires. Waliyadu billah. And if the people of knowledge are few, likewise, then the people, they will become as well harsh and rude, and also misguided. So from the means of safety, from misguidance, and from all calamity and hardship and failure in this life and the hereafter, is to learn what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon. In creed first and foremost, in belief, and likewise in his worship and his manners and conduct. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to strive to apply that knowledge in one's life. It's been narrated by Az-Zuhri rahimahullahu ta'ala. He says, Al-i'tisamu bis-sunnah najat. Al-i'tisam bis-sunnati najat. That holding fast. holding fast to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is najat, is a means of safety and savior. A means of safety and savior. The only way to be safe from the doubts and the misconceptions and the innovations and misguided ideologies of the people of today. And likewise, the only way to be safe from the impermissible lusts and desires and the misguided methodologies and the foul and lowly manners is to hold fast to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To hold fast to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with firm belief and faith and trust and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To hold fast in creed and belief and in application and statement and deed. Not just a claim, not just a dress, but rather, you need to hold fast inwardly and outwardly. It's not an outward appearance only that someone will claim, but rather it's an outward appearance and also an inward appearance. A person, he must rectify his heart. He must rectify his intentions. He must rectify his desires and what he wants in life. What he wants in life. And this is what has corrupted, this is what has worked great corruption. And the ummah is the corruption of the hearts. We have seen that the time whenever the humiliation will befall the ummah and the people, they'll partake from the Muslim lands, their honor and their rights and their wealth and livelihood is because of the corruption of the heart. At this time, the wahan will come in their heart, that weakness, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interpreted to mean حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَقَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ, to love excessively the worldly life in a manner that is forbidden, and to dislike death. So to hold fast to the sunnah. It's been narrated from Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, a wonderful statement about this affair. He says, As-sunnatu kasafinati nuh, man rakibaha naja wa man takhallafa anha halak. That the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the deen, the creed and the belief and the methodology and the way, the laws and legal ways of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is like the ship of Noah alayhi salam. Whoever boards, he will be safe. And whoever falls back, then he will be destroyed. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned about this statement, rahimahullah, wa hadha haqqun, and this is truth. Because whoever boarded with Nuh alayhi salam in his day, meaning that those who believed in Allah and they believed in the message of Allah that was revealed to the messenger of their day, and they got on the ship and boarded with Nuh alayhi salam in sincere faith and belief and trust and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were saved from the flood. They were saved, literally, they were saved from the flood. And Allah, He sent the flood and He drowned and wiped out and destroyed. And everyone who did not board with Nuh alayhi salam and those who believed in those days, they were finished and destroyed. And likewise, the similar example exactly in our times. After the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the day of resurrection, his sunnah is the means of safety and savior for us, for his followers. For his followers sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like the ship, boarding the ship along with that sincere faith, boarding the ship with Nuh alayhi salam along with that sincere faith, and in that sincere faith and that application of that faith and following that messenger in that manner, until they board a ship in the middle of the desert, and in this manner they believed and they submitted in this and they surrendered. And we know likewise, like the enemies of Nuh, what were they saying to him? What are you doing building a ship that's in the middle of the desert? Who's going to build a boat in the middle of the desert? Who's going to build a boat? What's wrong with you? Are you a fool? Making fun of him and laughing at him, saying how and why? But he's working upon revelation. He's working with revelation. He's not a regular man. He's a prophet and messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam. So we must believe in the message and follow the messenger and fear Allah Azza wa Jal in this manner of safety. So for us, in this day, after the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the resurrection, this ship, that whoever boards it, he will be safe. And whoever does not board it, he will be drowned, is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of the deviant sects and all of the misguided ways, if you see them, you will find them drowning in doubts, drowning in shubuhat, drowning in misconceptions, drowning in desires, drowning, being tossed around in the waves of of misguidance and the ways of opinions and whims. One day he's a tablighi, and the next day he's a khwani, and the next day he's a khariji, and the next day he's this, and then the next day he thinks he's salafi, and then he's back here and back there, just being tossed around in the waves of misguidance, because he's not holding fast. He's not holding firm to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The same thing with those who are drowning in whims and misguidance. Those who are drowning in their desires and following their lusts that are impermissible. It's like they're drowning in the waves of fornication and lusts that are haram, that are burning in their hearts and wiping them out. Drugs and alcohol and violence and the likes, like the stealing and taking money that's unlawful. They're drowning in these affairs. The only way to be safe and to stay afloat is to hold on to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and truthfully, inwardly and outwardly. After this, the author, hafidhahu Allah ta'ala, he mentions the third point in closing of this brief chapter. He says, إِجْلَالُهُمْ لَهَا عِنْدَ تَحْدِيثٍ فَلَا يُحَدِّثُونَ بِهَا إِلَّا عَلَى أَكْمَلِ حَالٍ. He said also that which indicates the honor and respect and love the salaf they had for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his narrations, his sunnah, is that they would honor and respect and They would have great honor and respect for the sunnah. So, for the sunnah, that they would have great honor and respect for the sunnah at the time of narrating. I mean, those scholars from the salaf, those who would narrate the narrations, that while narrating, they would honor and venerate in a great manner and hold in high regards those narrations at the time of narrating. And they would not like to narrate except in the most perfect and complete manner. So he says, أَنْ قَتَادَتَ رحمه الله أنه قال لقد كان يستحب ألا تقرأ الأحاديث إلا على طهور. That قتادة رحمه الله from the تابعين, he died in 117, he says it was preferred, and he from the Salaf before him and those who narrated to him, it was preferred that the narrations would not be narrated except while a person was upon Tahara. He says قال أبو سلمة الخزاعي, also narrated by أبو سلمة الخزاعي, كان مالك Ibn Anas, rahimahullah, إذا أراد أن يخرج يحدث يتوضأ وضوءه للصلاة ويلبس أحسن ثيابه ويلبس القلنسوة ويمشط لحيته فقيل له في ذلك فقال أوقر حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Abu Salama al-Khuza'i, rahimahullah, he mentions that Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas, Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, if he intended to narrate for the people the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would, before coming out, he would make the wudu that he makes for the salah. And he would wear the best garments that he had. He would put on the best clothing that he had, and he would wear his hat, and he covering his head. And he would also comb his beard, yani adorning himself and his appearance in a manner until it was known from him that before he would sit and teach the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would adorn himself, and he would take time to adorn himself in this manner. So they asked him about this. What is the reason for this, or the wisdom behind this? He said, "Uwaqiru haditha Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said, "I'm honoring and revering, showing great reference to the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He says, "Wa Abd al-Rahman ibn Abi Zinad, annahu qala dhukira li Sa'id ibn Musayyib hadithan." رحمه الله عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أجلسوني فإني أكره أن أحدث حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا مضطجع. And it's been narrated likewise by Abd al-Rahman ibn Abi Zinad, رحمه الله. He said that a narration was mentioned, a narration of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was mentioned to Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, رحمه الله. He died in the year 94 from the best of the tabi'een. And it's mentioned likewise, this is whenever he is sick on his deathbed. He was sick on his deathbed, that these narrations are being mentioned to him, and he said to them, "Sit me up. Sit me up, because I dislike that the narrations are mentioned to me while I'm laying down. I dislike that the narrations are mentioned to me while I'm laying down." And even in this state of sickness, and out of honor and respect for the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would make great effort just to sit up so that he could sit in a dignified manner in order to listen to the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala al-Khatib al-Baghdadi. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in commentary on these narrations and the likes of them, karahatu man kariha at-tahdith fi al-ahwali alati dhakarnaha fi al-mashi wal-qiyami wal-ittija'i ala ghayri taharatin indama hiya ala sabil at-tawqiri lil-hadithi wal-ta'zimi wal-tanzihi lahu. ولو حدث محدث في هذه الأحوال لم يكن مأثوما ولا فعل أمرا محظورا. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, from those great scholars of the Hadith who died in the year 463, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's mentioning here to clarify that the fact that those who disliked to narrate in this manner and these circumstances that have been mentioned, for example, while one is walking, or while one is standing, or while one is laying on his side, or not upon tahara, those who dislike to narrate the narrations in these circumstances, this is only from the aspect of honoring and venerating and respecting the narrations. Honoring and venerating and respecting the narrations. And if a person, a scholar of hadith, were to narrate in these situations, while he's standing, while he's walking, while he's laying, then he did not do anything that's considered a sin. And he did not do anything that's considered forbidden. And he meaning that, again, how Qatada, he mentioned kana yustahab, that this is something that was preferred. So they would go to this extent. It's not obligatory for them. Rather, it's recommended. But they would carry themselves upon this recommendation because of the great honor and the ghayra and the love and the respect and the ta'zeem that they had for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this manner, they became who they were. And they are the best of this ummah. They are as-salaf as-salih. And they had the aid of Allah and the support of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we close these classes with the narration of Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala. And it's well known and been repeated a number of times. And bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, it will be repeated a number of more times. That la yuslihu akhiru hadhihi al-ummah illa bima aslaha awwalaha. That the end of this ummah will not be rectified except in that which rectified the beginning of this ummah. So with that, we close the issue and the topic of حَتَّى تَرْجِعُ لَدِينِكُمْ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us and to make the knowledge a benefit for us and a light for us and a proof for us and not against us. Inshallah, tomorrow we begin proceeding from this topic with a brief treatise by Al-Imam Al-Ajurri, rahimahullahu ta'ala, who died in the year 360. It's called فَرْضْ طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ, the obligation of seeking knowledge. And there's a summarized version of that called Mukhtasar Fard Talib al-Ilm, and has been summarized by the author of the work that we've been reading from, Shaykh Umar ibn Muslih al-Husayni, hafidhahullah ta'ala. And inshallah, tomorrow night we begin reading from that brief treatise as a reminder of this great obligation, the obligation of seeking knowledge and learning the religion for the sake of Allah, and striving to implement it in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it beneficial. Hatha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.